Well, this morning, I want to take a minute and just share with you as we close on the body of Christ. I was thinking about it, and when I was growing up, my father used to, he had a name for me because on Saturday mornings, I had a ritual. I was what my dad called a cartoon Saturday morning junkie. Before I grabbed my ball glove and went around the corner to the playground to play baseball all day long, I spent a few hours watching two things that I could remember and probably seen every episode ever made. And one was the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour. Some of you remember that. The other was the Justice League of Superheroes. I remember watching this and just fascinated with the Justice League. Because all of these superheroes, the superheroes like Aquaman, I mean, Aquaman could talk to the animals. He could talk to the fish. And that was just such an awesome thing. I thought, how cool would that be to swim underwater and to never have to come up for air? And on top of that, I could talk to the whales, the sharks, the stingrays. And then there was Wonder Woman. I mean, she rode around in an invisible airplane, but she had her lasso of truth. No matter what you did, she'd circle that thing around you, and you had to tell the truth. And then, of course, there's the dynamic duo, Batman and Robin, and all the gadgets and toys that they had. I like the Wonder Twins. The power of the Wonder Twins, and they could transform into whatever they want. But then there he was, the head of the whole thing, the cream of the crop, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap a tall building in a single bound. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. There you go. I mean, X-ray vision, all the stuff. And you know what was great about these guys? Every Saturday morning when I watched them, they all got together with their unique gifts every Saturday, and they solved and helped the world of its problems. Every Saturday morning, these guys got together, and they used their gifts to fix the world. Wow. Think about that. The body of Christ, every Sunday morning, getting together and discovering and using their gifts to rescue the world. Think about that. You probably didn't think of yourself as a superhero. And yet God says every single one of us are a part of the body of Christ. So welcome to the League of Superheroes. You are a superhero. The question is, what's your superpower? And we put spiritual gifts everywhere. You can take those leaders that head up life groups. If some of your people aren't here, take some extra ones so you have those for your life groups this week. They're discovering that and discussing. But for you, everyone in the church, we want you to take it home, discover, give us a call over the next couple weeks. We'll help you find your place in the body. I've learned this, that the body needs three things. The body of Christ needs three things today, just like your body, just like Christ's body. One, we need to be unified. Two, we need to be glorified. The body needs to be glorified. And three, it needs to be exercised. Those of you taking notes, unified, glorified, and exercised. That's what the body needs today. The first one is unified. You've probably heard the scripture in 12:12. We had it up there. We'll bring it up again. In chapter 12, verse 12, it says, the body is a unit. One. Though it's made up of many parts, all its parts form one body. So it is with Christ. See, the body of Christ needs to be unified all together. And here's where this works. Have you ever heard that 80% of the work is done by, well, you've heard that, 20% of the people. It's the 80-20 rule. Could you imagine that 80% of the work, only 20% of the people do that? That's across the board in the United States, at jobs, at schools, at homes possibly, I don't know. Hopefully that's not in your house. But maybe you feel like you pick up after everyone. So maybe it is true. But imagine that in the church. Imagine that in your body. What would happen if only 20% of your body said, I'm working and I'm doing everything, and 80% of your body said, I quit, I don't want to do anything. What would your life be like with 80% shut down? Well, you wouldn't function. You'd be in all kinds of problems. And yet, we look at the church and we go, hey, look at the church or business. We're doing pretty good. 20% of the people are doing stuff. That's actually not very good. We need to have 80% or 75 or maybe, Would we be okay with 60% of the people? Here at Grace, we have about 40% of the adults are involved in some kind of ministry. They're exercising, they're unified in doing that. Could you imagine if 100% of the 400 adults that call Grace home, imagine if 400 adults got together and said, every single one of us are going to be a part of the body. We're going to be unified. We're going to do this together. Could you imagine what a unified body could do? If we say, well, Grace is pretty good. 40% of the adults are involved. I mean, it's pretty cool. We could do reverse Christmas and feed 8,000 people. We could do the House of Judgment. We have an awesome, awesome music team. We have incredible Awanas program in our youth. I mean, just off the charts. And I mean, we've got Dinner on the Run. What an amazing church. And yet, only 40% of the adults are involved. Think about that. If my kids came home with a 40% on their grades, on their exams, if a teacher had a student that got 40s, we wouldn't say, you know what, that's really good. We'd say, hey, we'd like you to repeat this grade again and again and again. And parents are going to go, what do I have to do to get my kid to get more than a 40%? And yet we celebrate that in the church because it is double the average. God doesn't want us to be average. God wants us to be a part of the body. And we just filled ourselves with the body of Christ because we are the body of Christ. Could you imagine if 100% of the people got involved? If everybody, what would the church be like? I'll tell you, we would be unstoppable. There would be nothing that the church could not accomplish if everybody got involved, if everybody used their gifts. Wow. It's called unity in the community. Unity in the community. Everybody's involved. Everybody's touching base. Everybody's exercising their gifts. And what does the Bible say about unity in the community? What does it say about being unified? There's an incredible story in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. I want you to take a look at this. It says, this is back at the beginning of time, and I'm thinking about now, there's maybe 10 million people on planet Earth. That's my math, what I think, my opinion. And it says, now the whole world had one language. How many languages did the world have? You should underline that, say, okay, one language and a common speech. What is a common speech? We're doing that right now. What's your life sentence? They had one life sentence. They were all on page. They were all on board. They were all unified, 100%. Now look at what happened. It says, as men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar. They settled there. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. So they're working, they're building houses, they're building the city. This is pretty great. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to heaven that we may make a name for ourselves. A couple things in this sentence that don't make sense. One, let us build a tower, a city. And a tower that reaches into heaven. I know Led Zeppelin says he had the stairway to heaven, but it happened a whole lot sooner than Led Zeppelin. All right? They're building their stairway to heaven. But look what it says. Underline in your Bible. It says, let us. They weren't building for God. They were making a name for themselves. Ooh. You see, when you're making a name for God, you're glorifying God. When you're making a name for yourself, and we see that so often where people are focused. So what did God do? God said, the Lord came down to see this city and the tower that men were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking this, here it is, that single sentence, they have begun to do this, nothing they plan to do will be impossible. Your Bible says, your God says, if we are having unity, if we're united in our purpose and our speech is the same, if we're all on the same page, nothing will be impossible for us to do. And do you know that that's what God wants in the church? God wants us to be able to do things and say nothing is impossible. No wonder why Paul said in Philippians 4:13 that through Christ I can do all things. But then why did God get upset? He got upset because unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. We talked about vanity last week, meaningless, emptiness. These guys are doing it for themselves, to make a name for themselves. And we live in a world that tends to do this. I'll get to this in just a second. It says God came down, and it says in verse 7, let's go down and confuse their language so they can't understand each other. And here's the problem the church has had ever since. When division comes in, the devil gets in and divides people up. It happens in homes when husbands and wives aren't on the same page. Unless the Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. You wonder why our government's having issues, because sometimes people are more worried about political party than they are worried about solving problems. I should run for office on that. That's a great idea, that we're more worried about people than we are about politics. And when the church is more worried about people than religion, ooh, because what happens is when they start getting selfish and building a name and they have selfish gain, God comes down and just scatters their language, says, you know what, I can't have these guys doing this. I can't have these guys being selfish out there. And so thus, that's where the languages came from, in Genesis chapter 11. It's an interesting thing because we live in a world that doesn't want to unify. And I say, let's get unity in the community. Could you imagine? I mean, I'm glad you guys are here, but it's time to use your gift. It's time to find a place. You're on the ship called Grace. We are setting sail out into a world that needs us to be so strong and so united. And that's the next part, is we need to be so strong and so united that when people find us, we have power and strength. When we're united, imagine everybody rowing together. Imagine everybody grabbing an oar and going, you know what? This is just the strength we needed. We needed about 50 more horsepower. Thanks for grabbing an oar. You can come to Grace here for about 3 months, 3 to 6 months, before we'd probably even let you get involved in a ministry. We want to know you. We want to make sure that whoever works with our kids has kind of gone through it. We're just not going to let anybody in, obviously. But listen, you can find a rag and clean. You can be an usher or a greeter. You can get involved in music. But we have a few months. We allow people to come on deck, on the Lido deck, drink your pina colada with your little umbrella and say, man, I love cruising with Grace. This is a nice church. I enjoy the music. Oh, they have great bands. They mix up the drinks well. And the food, the pastor serves up a pretty good meal. We kind of like that too. And so you come to Grace. Listen, be on the Lido deck for so long, but after a while, we're probably going to show up and say, hey, guess what's down below deck? There are some oars, and we'd love to have you grab one, because our world needs a church that nothing is impossible for them. The world is out there floating around, and we got ships trying to go out into storms, and the waves are so big, and the church hits it, and the church can't change anything. And the church hits it, and it can't define what marriage is. And the church hits a wave, and it can't stop abortion. That 6,000 children die today from abortion in America. And the church hits that wave, and it doesn't have the strength to even row in to rescue someone. We can't even change public opinion. Now, that may sound strange to you, and that's a little soapbox, but honestly, if those babies were on the other side of the womb and someone went into a nursery and killed 6,000 people today, that would be on every news, and we'd do whatever we could to stop it. But because they're on the safest place that they should be on planet Earth, in their mother's womb, it's the most dangerous place on planet Earth, and more people die there than any war you would ever imagine, combined by the most brutal things. And this isn't about saying, oh, I'm here to talk to you about abortion and right to life. I'm going to tell you this, that we believe here at Grace that life is important, but if the church doesn't have the strength, because not enough people want to stand up and row, we can't get through a single little wave like saying life is important. We can't get through a little wave like saying, hey, let's feed the hungry. We can't get through a little wave called welfare. And so what does the world do? They start throwing money at it, and we're not solving anything because of corruption, and the church itself can solve all of it. The church has the resource and the ability to stop hunger in the United States of America as we know it. What do you mean? Nothing would be impossible. Unity in the community. You know what's beautiful? What's beautiful is when an orchestra gets together with all the woodwinds, with all the horns, with all the tambourines, with all the drums, with all the musical instruments, and they all perform in sync. Kind of like the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra or the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. What an awesome thing when they're unified as a body. You know what's beautiful? When a football team gets together and every person on that field execute, they're unified. They're not arguing with each other. They're not yelling at the other guy because he missed his assignment. Everybody's on the same page, and they all execute together, and go Lions. You know when a team falls apart? when a team falls apart is when there's showboating, or what I'd like to call, I said unity. We need to be unified. The body needs to be second glorified. And we live in a world where instead of glorifying the body, we glorify the part. Look at the next caption. Let's bring those next verses up in Corinthians 21, I think it is, through 26. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand can't say to the feet, I don't need you. The receiver can't say, I don't need you. Look, I'm the superstar on this team. The drums can't just come up here and drum and say, well, there's the whole thing. I don't need anybody else up here. Everything works together. And Tommy can't say to John, hey, John, I don't need you. We need John. If we didn't have John in the body, if we didn't have his part in the body, then the sermon... I said, and the sermon would be over, and you could all go to lunch. But we need John. John's a part of the body. And John can't say to Tommy, and was that an incredible video? Those guys poured out their heart. Didn't they do a great job in their testimonies? Amen. So the body comes together. But you know what I found out about the body? What I found out about the body is sometimes we like to do what I call at the gym, and I've seen it, is welcome to the gun show. I mean, I've heard that. Now I've seen it. Welcome to the gun show. We have a gun show mentality at the gymnasium. I mean, we have this thing where we elevate certain parts, and that's what he's saying here. In verse 22, he says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are, help me, indispensable. The weaker parts. You know what I see in the gym? I go to the gym, and I love it because I'm one of those guys. I put my headphones on, and I see people there. I see the people like me that are just thankful to be there and huff and puff. Then I see people that are there that are just starting out, and they're like, okay, I want to cut weight. And then I see those guys. Those guys that can't afford a whole shirt at the gym. These poor guys, I feel sorry for them. I'm like, I want to go to the Goodwill and go buy them a shirt. I mean, it's all torn up on the side. You can see like bees have stung them and things are all swollen up. Those poor guys must not feel good. They're walking around like this. Those guys. I mean, welcome to the gun show. We live in a society of gun shows. And the gun show is those things, those parts that we think are super important. That's all we focus on. And in the church, it happens too. We look at the preacher. Will we focus on that? Or the teacher? Can I tell you? The other side is so indispensable. The parts that nobody sees. I saw it the other day. I was in the gym, and I see these guys, and I think it's great. I mean, building these bodies and stuff, and I'm building my body. And find out I have muscles I didn't know I had, and I hurt in places. I've been there 9 days and 2 weeks now. And I think to myself, it must be 50. And my body's saying to me, you should have done this 30 years ago. Now is not the time to figure out some of these muscles. But I'm over there and I'm doing my thing. And then I see the guys. I mean, just huge, huge guys. I mean, muscles on top of muscles on top of muscles, and muscles that come out here and there. And their legs are that big around. And I thought, something doesn't fit here. You forgot the lower half of your body because of the gun show focused on one thing. You need to work on the I'll tell you what, we need to work on the foundation. You need to have a good, solid foundation. And the church tends to do it too. It happens all the time. People come up to me and they're like, oh, I could never do what you do. No, but you could clean. And I'll tell you, the church is just as important not to have just a good preacher and not just a great worship team. It's important to have ushers that people may not even know their names. And they walk through the door. Could you imagine walking through? How indispensable that is. You walk in, someone says, ah, here's your bulletin. You're here? How long have you been here? Well, it's about time. Or, I haven't seen you in weeks. I hope the roof doesn't fall in. Someone like you walking through church. You got kids? Shut them up. Here. Welcome to Grace. How indispensable. You can like the music, you can like the preacher, but you're going to say, I'm not going back to that church. How indispensable that church is. Or cleaning the bathrooms. They say in church growth that 80% of church growth is affected by how clean the bathrooms are. Well, it doesn't matter until you're the one going in next. And you're like, I can't go back to that church. People do this. People ask me, the gun show happens as a pastor. I go to conferences, I'll go speak somewhere. And the first question everybody wants to ask, and you might have been asked by your friends, you go out to Grace, how many people, I see heads already nod, how many people go to church? How big is your church? And I always answer, ever since I got this place going, listen, it's not my church. This isn't the body. These are parts. My church, how big is your church? Last I checked, we have about 600 million that go to my church. And they go, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about St. John's. I'm talking about St. Mary's. I'm talking about Colonial Woods and Ross and Life of Faith. I'm talking Cross Currents. I'm talking about all these places. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about it in Cambodia. I'm talking about in different parts of Asia, South America, Europe. The body of Christ, the body, the unity of Christ. And I am not going to grandstand because too many people are building towers for themselves. And you know it when you start worshiping the pastor instead of the God he worships. I go to this church because this pastor, have you heard this pastor? I think it's great to hear great pastors. But when's the last time you heard someone say, man, at that church, oh, have you heard their nursery workers? Oh, they're awesome. I tune in my television every night just to hear the nursery workers. No, they don't get on television. Because we play this welcome to the gun show thing in churches. And who gets invited into these things? Well, the bigger the church, it must be better. And I say, hey, I'm glad churches are growing. We need churches growing everywhere. But I'm part of a body that's going to be glorified and not the part that's going to be glorified. Amen. Let's be a part of that. And then finally, and you'll love this. I'll send you home with this. How's that? You'll like this part. The last one. The body needs to be unified. The body needs to be glorified. We need to lift up the body and just say, oh, God bless you. We ought to just lift up those things that are indispensable, like the prayer team, the warrior team, the greeting team, the nursery team, the pastor's team, the music team, the children, the youth. Lift them up. Finally, it needs to be exercised. Folks, we need to exercise. Do you know how bad the church needs exercised? I don't mean exorcism. Did he say exorcism or exercise? And why are those two words so close and have different meanings? Because the body is atrophying. It's falling apart. If you don't use it, you lose it. And if you aren't using your spiritual gift, you know what God's going to do? I'll go find someone who is. But the church is now handicapped because a foot said, I don't want to do anything. A hand said, I don't want to love anything. A heart quit working. Loving up on people. You're a part of the body. Exercise it. I learned over the last 2 weeks, there's parts of my body I haven't exercised in a long, long time. And those parts are going, thank you. They are waking up, and I'm finding myself getting stronger and stronger. I have more energy. The other day I went into the gym, and I'll share this, and this is for the right reason. I've been lifting a certain amount of weight, and I won't tell you because it's still embarrassing, but because I tried my sophomore year to go out on a football team in California. We had to bench press 90 pounds. Okay, there it is. I couldn't do it in high school, so I got cut my sophomore year because I couldn't bench press one time 90 pounds. So I went into the gym 2 weeks ago, and I said, okay, here goes that high school memory. I don't do this stuff. And I bench pressed 90 pounds. I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. And I got 90 pounds up there. And some of you are thinking, and I asked my son, I said, hey, I think I did pretty good. What do you think? And he goes, Dad, you really ought to be able to bench press your own weight. I said, that's just not going to happen in my lifetime. I said, that would be really good. What would be fair to moderate? He goes, half your body weight. And I went, that's just not going to happen. I said, what is 90 pounds like? He goes, well, yeah, curling 90 pounds is great. I went, no, not curling. I said, bench press. He goes, Dad, you're in trouble. I was there 2 weeks. I went the other day to work out. I hadn't worked out for 2 days. And I went in there, and I got on there, and I pushed this 90. I said, that's, huh. And I put 130 on there. I went, huh. I said, wow, it's only been a couple weeks. I said, I'm doing this, and it's kind of a vertical, kind of horizontal, halfway type thing. And I said, I'm doing 130. I said, this doesn't feel. I put 160 on there. I said, this feels pretty good. I could do that. I said, I'm going to try something. I'm going to put my weight on there. I put 200 pounds on there. And I got it 8 times. And I went, yeah, you can go ahead and clap because that makes me feel pretty good. because I shocked myself. I don't know if I'll ever do it again. I don't know if I was really dreaming and I wasn't really at the gym. But I was exercising my body, and if you use it, it will get stronger. Simple thing, coach. It will get stronger. And so I was reading about Jesus in a parable, and he said, to this man, I'm going to give one talent, to this man, three talents, and to this guy, five talents. Guys, go use it. And he leaves, and the master comes back. He says, how'd you do? He goes, I took that five, I doubled it. I worked it, and I doubled it. Here's 10. This guy with three, he goes, I worked it. Here's six. I doubled it. Good job, good job. He comes over to this guy, and he goes, what'd you do with it? He goes, I was afraid. I was afraid. How many people are afraid to get involved? And he takes that one. He goes, I buried it. I didn't lose it. I didn't use it. But here's the one. And I still got one. He says, no, you don't. Give me your one. He says, what do you mean? He says, if you don't use it, you lose it. You are unfaithful. Now, this doesn't fit into our politics in America today to take from someone who's doing so badly. And he takes it from him, and he goes over to this guy with three, and he goes, hey, you did great. You don't get this one either. And you'd say, well, that would make sense too. Actually, we live in a society that say, hey, this guy that made 10, let's take half of that or more, and let's give it to this guy over here. And by the way, it may be political to do this, but it's not biblical. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, that's a biblical principle because that's what the Bible says. Now, I think we should take care of feeding people, but if you don't work, you don't eat. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, take from him, and to him who had much, even more will be given. If you exercise it, God will bless you with more in that. And I know that doesn't fit into some people's psyches, but it's what Jesus said. He said, if you work hard and you learn how to be faithful, with much faithfulness comes more blessing. And with lack of faithfulness, even what you had is gone. It doesn't fit, does it? So I looked up this one scripture, and this will be our closing. In 1 Timothy 4:8, Jesus gives us this in his word. The Apostle Paul's writing this to Timothy. He said, in 1 Timothy 4:8, he said, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value in all things. Godly training has value for all things, holding promise both in the present life and life to come. He's saying, look, working your body is good, but the body of Christ spiritually is better. And I looked up that word training, and it's a Greek word. Now, if you're a guy that works out, you're going to understand this, and this is going to kind of embarrass some of you. You're going to take this home. It's lunch conversation. The word for training is gymnazo. It says physical gymnastics is of some value, but in the actual translation of godliness is spiritual training. Spiritual gymnazos. So you're thinking to yourself right now, oh, I need to go spiritually go to the gym. I need to spiritually at church exercise. Not what it's, the word gymnazo doesn't mean probably the whole of what you think. It does mean to exercise, but it's literally translated, the word gymnazo, gymnastics, is translated naked. It says physical nakedness is of some value, but spiritually being naked is even better. What does that mean? Well, in our world today, that doesn't make sense. But to them, it did, because when a man was physically training and then it went into the early beginning of the Olympics, you saw them competing and they were always naked. And the reason being is twofold. Number one, they wanted to show that they were not ashamed of this incredible body. And so their body was not to be hidden, and they were not ashamed. The second thing is they didn't want any clothing. They didn't want any articles that would hinder their performance. Now think about that translated with that scripture. God wants us to spiritually be naked. He wants us not to be ashamed of the body or the gift that he's given you. And he doesn't want anything to hinder your performance. But we start throwing in stuff all over us, and we don't exercise in the spirit, in the church. The body is an incredible thing. Let me invite you to find your place in the body of Christ. Your body is absolutely beautiful. It is huge. It's 600 million strong. And here at Grace, we're a part of that body. What does God have for you today? What does God have in your life? what's your life sentence? Let's stand together.